broadcasting to you from the other side, by which I mean the other side of Sheffield. This is Two Men and a Ghost.
Hello everyone, this is Two Men and a Ghost. This is the fourth of our new reunion podcast where we revisit old haunts. What are you laughing at? We've just realised we've come on the wrong night. We've come to this pub in Sheffield, which is the most haunted pub in Sheffield, called the Old Queen's Head. But we didn't realise until just a minute ago we've come on the Spice Night. So in the room just next to us, there's all these expectant people. Come to this dating agency called Spice, looking forward to a spicy evening. So we're completely on our own in another corner.
Absolutely. Yeah. The joke is that
we're trying not to be spicy.
Well, the problem is that when we did walk in originally, I remember you suggesting should we sit in the corner with anybody. And they probably thought we were the old Spice.
Well, I've just turned 50. I won't say how old you are.
No. You know, I mean, I come with a warranty.
Yeah, we're trying to talk about spooky stuff while people are looking forward to Spice. why are we here, Mike? Please explain.
You're not going to do that impression of a teapot for somebody, are you? Sorry, I shouldn't have
said
that.
No, I'll do that. Yeah, okay, I will.
Oh dear. It's amazing, isn't it, about every time we've always tried to do these, if people check into past.
Well, the last time we came here, there was something going on, wasn't there? There were two old guys with
There were three of them.
Were there three of them?
Yeah.
With the flat caps. They were like the Tetley Tea folk.
That's right.
And we thought they were just going to talk about their favourite football teams.
Greyhounds and Whippets.
Yeah. And they were talking about rediscovering the ancient ways and the rituals.
And the Dark Lord himself.
And Stonehenge. And
yes.
But they didn't have spice evenings then, they just had old pagan evenings.
Well, you got burnt for it, that's why.
Yeah, but...
you couldn't have it. Right. Sorry, I've composed myself. I feel rather silly now. I've composed myself, said Mozart.
And in the meantime, in the corner we're sitting in, they're playing the best glam rock of the 70s, so I'm quite happy. So
absolutely.
I'm not going to listen to anything you say, Mike.
No,
I'm just going to listen to Susie Quattro.
I do agree with you on that one, definitely.
Yeah.
Right, okay, for a bit of background, Old Queen's Head.
We're in Sheffield. It's something to do with Mary Queen of Scots, I think. I'm not sure.
Well, I think where I got thrown about, I don't know about you, but where I got thrown was when we actually walked in, because the last time we were here, which was a few years ago, it was very dark, very dismal.
They've done it up, haven't they?
It looks very nice, and we highly recommend anybody listening to this.
It's at the other end of the Sheffield Interchange.
That's right. I highly recommend it. It looks really nice. They've put a lot of real work into the place.
Well, when we last came, it sort of seemed better days.
It wasn't. Sorry, I'm going to cut away off the subject because I know where my mind's going to go. Regarding the Old Queen's Head, well... situation about this pub, it is genuinely a very, very old establishment.
I'm playing Dr. Feelgood at the moment, sorry.
Hey, this is a really good one, actually.
Milk and Alcohol.
That's right.
I remember school disco with it.
Oh, it's a good one, isn't it?
My mind's looking at the Spice People.
Mm.
And listening to Dr. Feelgood and listening to you, so I ought to get focused.
I know. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
No, this is a really good one. Yeah, the thing is that this is a place... Yeah, I'm trying to read notes here, and the problem I've got is I realise I've brought the wrong glasses.
Oh.
And I haven't got my reading glasses. So if I actually come out with a load of gobbledygook, please forgive me.
Unlike previously.
Oh, no, I always come out with that. Basically, we're talking about a place that was actually constructed back in the 1400s.
Yeah.
So we are talking something really old.
Yeah. They didn't play Dr. Feelgood.
No,
not
really.
Or have
really.
Spice videos.
Not really. The place was originally part of what was called a marsh hunting lodge. And
you're holding this up right close to your eyes.
I can't see it. This is so embarrassing. It was actually listed by the Earl of... hold on.
The Duke of Earl.
by Darts, he sang the Duke of Earl. And the Duke of...
I met one of the Darts.
Did you really?
Yeah, the
base... The 180?
No. No, Den Hegarty, he was a nice guy.
Oh, he was my favourite, and I was so sad when he left.
I spent the afternoon in a pub with him, he was lovely.
Well, when he left, because I've got... I'm always playing this Darts album.
Great.
Kind of best of Darts.
Yeah,
you know?
Great.
I love everything they do.
Yeah.
But when he left, for me, it kind of lost something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was a real character, wasn't he?
Oh, he's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Basically, the Earl of... Schubert.
You can't read your own writing.
He actually put it into a part of an inventory back in 1582. Oh, God, I wish I'd have read my reading glasses. Now, I've got some interesting little tales of the spiritual things and the unexpected in this. Now, the first one's going to go down well with you witters, because you'll find it of great humour. And that is that there had been reported on numerous occasions that there is an actual ghost that is supposed to exist in the ladies' toilets. Now, I don't know if you want to check
that. Not
that
I've ever been there.
Me neither. Not in this place. Apparently, where that part of the building is, it used to be connected more to the front of the building. And it actually led out more to the water marshes and a small washout that was next to the original hall.
Well, this is before it was the interchange.
Absolutely. Yeah, you didn't get buses or trains then. One of the stories goes that one day a lady who had gone into the ladies' loo, she'd gone into the far... Why it's so specific, I don't know, but it was... She went into the far right... cubicle. She was sitting there, and your mind kind of wanders at this point, but then the sliding catch on the door slowly started to slide back. So she thought, oh, maybe you can somehow manipulate the lock from the other side.
Yeah.
So she simply shouted out, oh, it's occupied, and she pushed the catch back. Anyway, about a minute later, the same thing happened. So she pushed the catch back, and she heard the cubicle next to her, some noises, and the actual toilet roll thing started to move. So when she came out, she saw some paper on the floor, but there's no one around. And she looked around, and again, there was absolutely nobody around. And what many spoke of was that people had seen... This is the idea was that people had seen the ghost of a washerwoman who had
absolutely a washerwoman
who had existed here for quite a number of years. In fact, could you imagine having a ghost like this? I mean, honestly, it should have been perfect, because back between somewhere between 1990 and 92 or 93. the lady who was the landlady at the time often said that sometimes a uniform would go missing or would at a later stage turn up all clean and pristine. And could you imagine a ghost that does kind of your washing for you? I mean, that's fantastic.
Actually, I'd like that.
Me too.
Yeah, I hate doing the washing.
It'd be brilliant. I would like that.
But, Mike, I've got an idea, because we're recording right now.
Yes, we are.
And the women's loos are just about 10 yards away.
You want me to go in, don't you?
Yeah. You take this with you, and I'll wait outside.
Right. Now, if you wear screens,
yeah.
Is it because I've gone in, or because there's something horrific in there? Or maybe I'm the thing that is horrific in there? Now, maybe you should go in.
No, I don't think. Not on the spicy.
Yeah, you might miss out. No, I'll stick around. One of the other stories, now this admittedly I did find more disturbing, was that going back some years ago, one of the assistant managers there was a lady, she'd got a dog. It was a large Rottweiler.
Mm.
And apparently really liked, really was friendly, liked people, no problem. And one particular evening, there was some sort of deal going on, some sort of party. So they put the dog upstairs in one of the main rooms. Then, to keep it company, they put the TV on.
Mm.
Then about 10 o'clock turned, they heard the dog howling quite a lot. They went up to check the dog, and they found that the dog was not in the room. The dog was actually on the old veranda outside. But more worrying was that the French windows connected to this were closed and locked, and the dog was on the other side.
Oh, that's strange.
And then when they opened it and let the dog back in, the dog was, like, totally freaked. This experience for this poor animal happened again, but was much more terrifying because at one point they heard a really loud sound like a crash, and the dog had physically been thrown through this French windows, I should say,
Brown.
And obviously had to be treated. Needless to say, and who blames the poor thing, it never wanted to not only go back into that room, but...
They say that animals are more sensitive.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It didn't even want to come back in the pub.
Mm.
It was really, really scared. But
you told a story to me earlier, because the last time we came, the landlord at the time very kindly gave us a tour of the cellar.
Yeah, that's right.
And
I've never
been in a cellar before, with all these tubes running out of casks and barrels.
That's right.
And things, but
yeah, what happened was that a member of staff here, it is alleged that they had in their room, there was an old cabinet that had been here really since the early days of this place being established. And she decided she didn't want it up there anymore, and so it took several men, it was a very heavy piece of furniture, it took several men to carry it downstairs, and they placed it down in the cellar.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing that, but...
No, I must confess, I don't myself. But apparently the story goes that some weeks afterwards, she went downstairs late one night, she had to do the changeover regarding the barrels, and she could hear this kind of scraping sound on the floor, and when she turned around, the kind of large wooden feet, shall we say, on the item was scraping on the floor, and it was physically moving.
Wow,
towards
that is scary.
And
but nothing there that could have moved.
No, it was so heavy, as I say, it took several men to actually shift the thing. She ran upstairs, got some people to come down, and it was literally halfway towards the stairs. So something somehow had moved it. It's a lot of these stories. I mean, this is a pub that's got numerous stories from sightings of an old guy who was often seen sitting in the snug. But having said it,
Yeah, well, the thing is,
what
that
is the
part of the pub that guy is seen in
is
where they're having this spice evening.
Well, it's all changed now. And I'll probably think that he's actually come there for the, from the evening.
Yeah.
He might get a pickup, who knows?
Yeah, it could
do. You know, if he's in good spirits. Sorry about that. I mean, the other thing that I was rather disappointed about, but they have changed it, and I stress, they have made the place look fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But apparently, there was at one time, there was these over old fireplace with these, like, shields.
Yeah.
And I think I remember seeing those the last time we were.
It was in the spice room.
Right. Now I remember. But what it is that going back many, many, many years ago, what happened was that during the time of Cromwell, etc., there was a guy who had died in this area, and often it is said that in one of the shields you can see its reflection, that that he walks into the room, he is carrying some drinks. He's familiar with the room, but he's looking around like he's not familiar with the people. You know, he's looking.
So it's a time thing, isn't it?
You know, funny enough, I once heard a very fascinating story about that, and that is, this family, they went to this. It was like a holiday cottage in the middle of nowhere, and the bottom line was that when they got there, whilst the husband was getting things sorted out in the house or the cottage, they said, oh, we'll just go to the car and get a few other things out. So his wife and maybe child or whatever, they opened the door, and as they started to walk towards the car, what they noticed was the very obvious. The car wasn't there, it didn't exist, but in front of them was a guy on horseback and some other guys dressed in the type of clothes you would have worn during, say, Charles I's reign.
Oh, it's weird.
They stared at each other, both parties obviously thinking, you know, who the hell are you? And, you know, you look really weird. And they went straight back into the cottage, slammed the door, and then when they reopened the door, everything was back to norm. That the car was there.
You know, I love this, where you get glimpses.
Yes.
Or the gaps between time just break down.
That's right. So the difficulty is, it's like with everything like this, you can never really tell, you know, what percentage of these are stories, what percentage of these are truth. Is it something that is alleged? Is it something that gets passed on, like
well,
Chinese whispers?
Well, we don't know, because we've never seen a thing.
I know. Well, yeah, but the old aim of Two Men and a Ghost has always been to seek out that which cannot be found. And
well,
we have totally succeeded.
We haven't found anything.
We have not found a thing, but we can safely say tonight that, well, tonight, you know, we can say that if you're on the pole, that get down here. And who knows?
Listen, trust you with my iPod.
Pardon?
I could find something if you go into the women's loo.
Right.
So here it is.
Right.
It's just round the corner.
Oh, great.
We could see the ghost of the washerwoman.
Great. And if one of the women scream out and shout, there's a man showing me an impression of a teapot, who's going to bail me out?
Well, I'm not.
No, somehow I don't think it's a good idea.
No,
I don't think. Do you remember the time when we were sitting there on that dark, lonely road and the van pulled up alongside us and those three very dear ladies, young ladies, they were asking what we were doing. I thought they were going to a nightclub.
Yeah.
And they borrowed somebody's van.
Yeah.
And it was only when they pulled off and started to move away that the very large lettering, police, on the side.
That was
a telltale.
For those of you who can find it, that was in our very first original podcast.
It was indeed.
We started by being stopped by the police.
Yes.
And the very end of the podcast was being stopped by other police.
Yes, it was a great time.
Yeah, and we've gone downhill since then.
Oh, we're really in the bottom now, but
yeah,
there's still even further to go.
Yeah.
So even if we don't, if you don't feel we're at the bottom right now,
yeah,
don't worry about it. Keep tuned in.
The glorious reunion podcast, number 4.
Absolutely.
Stay tuned for number 5. It's going to be even worse.
Hold on, Sarah Fresh.
See you soon. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Broadcasting to you from the other side, by which I mean the other side of Sheffield. This is Two Men and a Ghost.